Full disclosure here at the start of the podcast. Happy Monday, everybody. I have waited 30 minutes to sit and record this episode, and I'm fighting the hiccups right now. So if you hear a little hiccup here and there, it's literally me. So we're so excited about a Brewers series win that my hiccups won't go away as I sit down to record this podcast. Maybe they'll just suddenly disappear now that we're locked in, but Brewers win 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays, and they now have one of the best City Connect jerseys in the land. If you're watching on YouTube, I've already got the hoodie on. Thanks, Sophia. Let's jump in. Locked On Brewers starts now.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is officially all about baseball season now. The NHL just decided things last night. NBA draft has come and gone. NFL, it's OTAs. No one cares about OTAs. Just baseball now. We are locked in all about summertime here in Milwaukee. Summerfest is back. Next time the Brewers are home is the 4th of July. They've got awesome City Connects now. Things are looking good here in the good land. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I'm the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin. I'm at just about every single game, bringing you all the news and notes you need to know about the Brewers this season. If you haven't already, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, as well as our YouTube page. We have the next In the Hopper series coming out there as well this week on Jace Peterson's defense. We have all the video versions of these podcasts posted there as well, and hope you can enjoy some of the content there too. Mondays, we traditionally go through Mailbag Monday, a couple of quick questions that we'll get to a little bit later. We're going to talk about the weekend as a whole, what we took away from the Blue Jays and the Brewers series, and just briefly touch on this road trip that's coming up. Brewers are off today, by the way, and a quick schedule update. With a Brewer off day today, there will not be an episode tomorrow morning. So we're taking the Brewer Day off with them, okay? So no episode tomorrow morning. Be right back Wednesday morning to recap game one of the series down at the Trop. That's tomorrow night. We have the starters for that series, too, at least 3 of the 4 starters in that series. 2 games in Tampa Bay and then 4 in Pittsburgh before they come right back home for the 4th of July. Look, the start of June was awful. We know this. And to see the life that the Brewers are showing right now is very encouraging, even despite now all the injuries. Injuries have become the norm for this team. And that's where we're going to begin this episode. Hunter Renfroe is indeed placed on the 10-day IL. 3 days retroactively, though, so he's already got a little bit of a head start on the recovery there with a strained right calf. How many times have we heard this song and dance of, oh, we don't think it's going to be that serious, and it's not getting better, and now we're going to retroactively put him on the IL. So Renfroe is now on the shelf, trying to get back healthy. The good news is, tomorrow, the Brewers are expecting Colton Wong to return. He did play over the weekend 2 games in Appleton. He hit a home run yesterday as well. Good to see that Colton should be on his way back. And we'll talk about lineup configurations when he slots back in. But now the Brewers, since that Sunday finale in Washington, they have won 8 of their last 13 games. And they're showing signs of life. Now, 8 of 13 isn't crazy great, but the only series they've lost in the last 4 series, like actually lost, not a split, is the Mets series. And quite frankly, they could have won that series. So they sweep the Reds, they split with the Cardinals, and now they win the series with the Blue Jays. Now they got a tough test with Tampa Bay starting tomorrow and then can get really rolling against Pittsburgh Pirates, of course. Things are looking up. And Rowdy Tellez had himself a day yesterday. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But of course, the last time we chatted was at the start of this series on Friday, not knowing what was going to happen. And Friday was a real tough go of it. Adrian Hauser is really, really in a slump right now. We talked about his importance of trying to get him going here down the stretch, of how important his arm will be given all the injuries, with Aaron Ashby on the shelf right now. Woodruff is returning tomorrow, by the way, too. Another big injury news. But without Hauser delivering at least 6 quality innings, you're not asking for 6 shutout every single time, but just to keep the team in it. But his June has really, really, really been rough. Here in the month of June, he has allowed a total of 18 earned runs in 27 innings. That's a 5.86 ERA. Three homers, 10 walks, only 21 strikeouts. He's not a strikeout guy, but just opponents are hitting 300 on the dot against him. Not really encouraging stuff. Some of that has been a lot of ground balls and some bad luck, like we saw in a lot of that second inning against Toronto, but a lot of it was hard contact as well. On Friday, the Blue Jays had 10 hits register at 95 miles an hour above, register as hard hit. That was their fifth such game this season. That is tied for the third most in baseball. The Brewers have had one such game of 10 hits with 95 miles an hour above. That was a bad matchup from the start, Hauser versus the Blue Jays. And, well, it went exactly how you may have expected. 9-4 the final in that one on Friday. Now let's go to Saturday's game. Corbin Burns. Corbin freaking Burns. Wow. Another great start for him against one of the best offenses in baseball. Yes, he allowed two more home runs. Clearly, teams are ready for his cutter this season. They are understanding how it moves and what it's supposed to do and how he's trying to get players out. And two more home runs against a team that hits a lot of home runs. Matt Chapman was geared up for it. And in Corbin's words, it was a lazy cutter, lazy first pitch. Chapman ambushes on Corbin, solo home run. And then Bo Bichette in the eighth inning, mind you, with two outs and nobody on, a solo homer. You're not going to lose games with solo home runs. And the good news, the silver lining, despite all of the home runs that Corbin Burns has allowed this season, it's kind of shocking to see that he only allowed 7 home runs all of 2021, and now he's allowed 12 in 2022. The silver lining is that 9 of the 12 home runs have been solo homers, case in point from Saturday's game. So he gets the win, working into the 8th inning. He was pulled in the middle of the 8th inning. Devin Williams got out of the jam with the tying run on base. At the plate coming, I should say, with Alejandro Kirk. Josh Hader gets the save. What if I told you that in the two Brewer wins in this series, the only reliever to give up a run would be Josh Hader? Think about that. So Devin Williams gets one out on Saturday. He doesn't have to pitch on Sunday. Josh Hader pitches with the two-run lead, was one strike away from ending it, striking out the side. Instead, Matt Chapman starts a double with a rally. Then they get another RBI single to make it a run game. But that was the only run allowed by the bullpen in the two wins. Because the bullpen today, or yesterday, I should say, was solid. And the game was pretty much decided, you know, with 10 unanswered runs by the Brewers. But John Del Gustave, he's back, didn't allow a run. Trevor Gott, he's back, didn't allow a run. Had two strikeouts as well. Brent Suter didn't allow a run. He had one walk allowed. And Trevor Kelly had a 1-2-3 bottom of the ninth, or top of the ninth inning, to shut things down for the Brewer bullpen in relief of Chichi Gonzalez. Brewer's offense, it's all about the home run as of late. Kutch hit a home run off of Yusei Kikuchi on Saturday. Mike Brasso also hit a home run off of Kikuchi. And then yesterday, man, Rowdy Tellez. How fun was that? I mean, Friday, remember, he came up with the bases loaded in that 5-0 game in the third inning and had a chance with one out to just get something home. And you could sense the tension against Alek Manoah, against his former team, of trying to do something, trying to press, trying to do a little too much. He ends up grounding into a double play, and that ended the inning, and that really virtually ended all the momentum for the Brewers in that game. He gets a second chance. Rowdy had the day off on Saturday, so he gets a second chance on Sunday against Jose Berrios, and wow. He hits the two-run homer to punch right back. Remember, the Brewers are down 3-0 after a half-inning of play, and I saw a lot of y'all on Twitter freaking out. A lot of y'all freaking out about what could happen with, oh my goodness, Chichi Gonzalez, this lineup, oh no, can't hit right now. Well, I tweeted it. Would you rather make a triple bogey on the first hole or the last hole? Brewers fought right back, tied it up on the bottom of the first, thanks in large part to Rowdy's two-run homer, and then he added another two-run homer in the third inning off of Berrios, part of a 5-run frame, took the lead in that frame. He let out a primal scream rounding first base. You could sense a lot of demons were released on that scream, on that swing, on his second homer of the game, his 7th career multi-homer game, his 2nd this year, and as a Brewer. What a day for Rowdy. He ends up going 2-for-4 with those 2 home runs and 4 runs batted in. He also drew a walk in this game. Brewers as a team, by the way, they went 4-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Very encouraging to see against a guy that, well, hand up, I picked as my AL Cy Young Award winner in the preseason. Got that one wrong. So Berrios goes only into the third, 8 hits, 8 runs, all earned. 2 walks, only 1 strikeout, and the 2 homers allowed to Rowdy. Hat tip to Chichi Gonzalez, despite allowing a 3-run homer to Kirk in the first. He really settled down after that. He only allowed 1 other hit outside of the first inning. Works four frames, four hits, three runs all earned, two walks, three strikeouts. All that the Brewers were asking of Chi-Chi was to give them a chance to win. Obviously, the offense took care of things, but how easy could it have been for Chi-Chi to lose focus for a moment in that second or in that third inning after the Brewers had tied it up and taken the lead to say, oh man, this lineup's too good. I got to make perfect pitches. His sinker was working yesterday. So Chi-Chi did his job. Is his future with the Brewers long-term? Very unlikely. That's a mailbag question coming up here in a little bit too. But Chi-Chi did his job. The bullpen shut things down. The Brewers scored 10 unanswered to win the game and the series and the homestand, mind you. A 10-3 victory over the Blue Jays yesterday. A lot of good to talk about from that one. The thing I take away is Rowdy. You know he's had this circled on the calendar all season long. And to have those two home runs in the fashion that he did it, you know, one to punch right back after a tough first inning, and then the other to take the lead and blow the lid off the place, even though the roof was open yesterday. That was awesome. This city loves Rowdy. Rowdy loves this city. Cool, cool, cool moment for your everyday first baseman. Let's jump into the mailbag here, and then we're going to get into some overall thoughts here in just a second. Before we do that, I want to tell you about AG1, Athletic Greens. I've talked about them a lot so far on this podcast. You've heard me tell you about the Easy Micro Habit. That's going to give you 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. Literally, it's something that so many folks use every single day. You can start taking AG1 for your own problems, whether it be gut health issues. It could be wanting more natural energy. If you've got a big multivitamin regimen in the morning, get rid of it. AG1 makes it easier to start your day healthy and lifestyle friendly too. It's everything. It's keto, it's paleo, it's vegan, it's dairy free, it's gluten free. There's no GMOs, less than a gram of sugar, no chemicals or artificial anything, and it still tastes good. It's just one scoop into a glass of water to start your morning. It costs less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than grabbing a coffee on the way to work every single morning. Athletic Greens was created when the founder was experiencing gut health issues and ended up doing a complicated supplement regimen that was costing almost $100 a day. So he created Athletic Greens after experiencing how difficult it was just to create an optimal nutritional routine for yourself. Over 7,000 five-star reviews for AG1. And right now, you have the chance to reclaim your health and your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop in a glass of water every day. That's it. And Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/MLB Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. We're also brought to you by our friends at Blue Nile. Look, if you're like me, you got nothing in the fine jewelry game, but maybe you got somebody special in life that you want to make sure you take care of. Blue Nile wants to make it easy for you, whether it's fine jewelry or you're getting ready to pop the question too. It's summertime. One of my best friends just got engaged. Shout out to you, Brian. Look, if you're ready to do it, if you're just going for a milestone moment, they've got the experts on hand at BlueNile.com to give you the modern convenience of online shopping and the expertise of what you want to have in a fine jeweler. Look, if you're needing help, they've got assistance available 24/7 via chat or via phone to help you find the memorable gift. You have incredible selection for your diamond shape, for your diamond cuts, for your setting style, the clarity, everything you could want, thanks to Blue Nile's absolute top-of-the-line bench jewelers that will handcraft a perfect engagement ring, and every single one is one of a kind. They're the original online jeweler since 1999. They've helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring. And right now, you can make your moment sparkle with BlueNile.com. So Lockdown Brewers listeners will get $50 off any purchase of $500 or more. And this is a podcast exclusive, and it does include engagement rings. Use the code LOCKEDON. That's it, LOCKEDON, to get every order that is insured, ships for free, arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. And again, $50 off any purchase of $500 or more, shopping stress-free and finding your forever peace at BlueNile.com today. Mailbag, let's jump into a few quick questions here. And let's start with Chi-Chi Gonzalez. What is the future of Chi-Chi Gonzalez? it's quite frankly going to be pretty short-lived. I don't see him pitching much longer in the Brewers' rotation, especially with Brandon Woodruff currently on his way back. Freddie Peralta's return is not imminent. Let's make that clear. Freddie is playing catch. He's throwing flat grounds, but he is not even close to a mound yet. So they're getting there. They're building him up, but the shoulder is looking good by all reports. He's back with the team right now, too, so that's good to see. But Freddie's not on his way back. Ethan Small just had a great day in AAA, and you are now in a stretch of your schedule where you're suddenly going to start getting a lot more off days, which the Brewers are certainly welcoming in right now with the way this year has gone for them and long road trips and long stretches between. So obviously, you've got an off day today. Then after the 4th of July series with the Cubs, you got an off day next Thursday. Not this coming Thursday, but an off day next Thursday. And then coming out of that weekend series against the Pirates at home, you got an off day next Monday. So there's not a pressing need to have all five guys at the ready because of all of these days. Brandon Woodruff is obviously returning tomorrow. Then maybe you do call up Ethan Small for a day or two. Do you keep it as a six-man rotation with Chi-Chi being a bullpen man? I don't see Chi-Chi lasting beyond the All-Star break personally, depending on the trajectory of what they want to take with Ethan Small, depending on the trajectory of Freddie Peralta's recovery. But Chi-Chi's a stopgap right now. I know it feels like forever ago, but remember when the Brewers had Zach Godley last season? I know it was very brief, but this is kind of the role that Chi-Chi is in right now. Being a stopgap, making sure the rotation can continue to turn over to the next guy and stay healthy enough to survive, okay? Pitch well enough to keep you in games. And that is what Chi-Chi Rodriguez is doing right now. So I don't think he's going to be sticking around super long. Plus, the lack of trust is certainly clear. The fact that they only went four innings and the Brewers had an 8-3 lead, and they said, no, we don't care about your pitch count. Four innings is all we needed out of you. See ya. So I think that tells you a lot about what Chi-Chi's role is going to be moving forward. Not that he's done anything terribly wrong, but you have better options available, including one on the 40-man roster if they choose to bring back Ethan Small, who had 10 strikeouts in his last start on Sunday, bouncing back after three consecutive really poor outings in his last three starts in AAA. So good to see that from Ethan. Next question, and this was probably the most popular question. What is the outfield lookout with 40-man options, especially now with Jonathan Davis sticking around? Is Jonathan going to be a depth option? Is he going to be sent back to AAA? What does it look like in the outfield? We talked about this briefly when Lorenzo Cain was DFA'd, the lack of depth right now on the 40-man roster in the outfield. You only have two center fielders on the 40-man now, Jonathan Davis and Tyrone Taylor. Remember, Corey Ray was outrighted a couple of weeks ago, the same day before, actually, that Lorenzo Cain was DFA'd. When you say a lack of depth, it just means that in the event one of those guys goes down, because you're already thin right now in the outfield with Renfroe going down. So Tyrone's going to be needed in right field for the foreseeable future with Jonathan Davis continuing to play center because you got no other center fielders. Yelich ain't playing center. Kutch ain't playing center. So those guys are going to continue to split left field while Tyrone plays right field and Davis plays center. In the event something happens to Jonathan Davis or Tyrone Taylor, then you start to worry because you need to add a center fielder to the 40-man roster. David Dahl is on the AAA roster. He is not on the 40-man. I don't see them adding him. It would have to be an internal option as far as a spot arrival, perhaps. But it's kind of one of those fingers crossed. Well, remember in spring training talking about with Luis Urias getting hurt, that the lack of backup shortstop that you have with Willy Adames in the event if he got hurt, what would the Brewers do? They're kind of in that boat right now with center field. What happens if Tyrone or Jonathan Davis gets hurt? You don't have much to follow up in center field that can play the position for the Brew Crew. Looking in AAA's roster right now, no one's on the 40-man, like I said. Corey Ray is not having a great year. David Dahl is a former big leaguer, not really a center fielder by trade. You've got Abraham Almonte down there. Bryce Terang's played a little bit of center, not a ton, but he's obviously seen as a middle infielder, and I doubt you're going to call him up in the middle of a postseason race this season. I think you call him up next year, but I digress. The Brewers will need to look around for outfield help in the event that it gets to that point. I think they're going to ride it and see if they can survive this patch of thin ice that they're on right now and work toward getting Renfroe healthy and then reassess from there. When you look at the 40-man right now, there are 39 players on the 40-man. And there's one spot about to be added back on to the 40-man. Pedro Severino is eligible to come off of his suspension on Sunday. Yeah, yesterday was game 75, y'all. This season is flying by. It feels like yesterday's, you know, it was opening day and we find out that Severino's suspended for 80 games. Well, we're 75 games in now. Severino is currently in AAA rehabbing, and he's had a good start to his rehab. So when you're on the suspension list, you're taken off the 40-man. So when Severino returns, that's another decision looming for the Brewers. Are they going to carry three catchers? Obviously, they've already optioned Mike Brasso earlier this year. He had the option year remaining. Now, who else has an option year remaining right now? Victor Caratini. Are you going to option Corbin Burns' personal catcher? I don't know, especially when Severino's not eligible to play the postseason because he was suspended this year. Is Severino going to become a trade target for a team that's maybe out of the running? Something that you throw in a trade? Because, quite frankly, in these final 80 games that he's going to be eligible to play in, 81 games, it's nice to have him for depth, but he's not going to be helping the team in October if they make it that far. They're caught in a catch-22. Like, well, we'd like to play him because we paid for him, but he's not going to help us in the future, so what's the deal? That's in 5 days, so buckle up for that decision because that'll fill up the 40-man roster. And the only guys that would need to be added back to the 40-man are the guys on the 60-day IL. So Freddy Peralta and Jake Cousins more imminently. Now, Jake's just throwing. Neither one of them are very close to returning, but if they did come back, you would have to outright somebody off of the 40-man roster. And then, or add somebody to the 60-day IL. And then, furthermore, have Justin Topa, if he does return this season, he would have to come off of the 60-day IL and onto the 40-man again. So you got three guys on the 60-day and one spot available on the 40-man that's about to be taken on Sunday by Severino. Again, the center field depth might be the casualty of Severino coming back to keep him on the roster. Good question, though. Trades, very popular as well. Who could the Brewers trade for? What is a rundown of their needs? Let's go through a rundown. Number one, obvious, it's a bat. The Brewers need a consistent bat. However, we just saw in yesterday's game, when they click, they don't need the home run ball. They scored 10 runs. Four of them came on the homer, the two of them by Rowdy. The other six, thanks to some small ball, thanks to some timely hitting. Again, 4-for-8 with runners in scoring position. They need a more consistent bat, though, a true threat in the middle of the order. Nelson Cruz has always been a popular target. Obviously, he was a popular target during the offseason. I look at a guy like Christian Walker with the Diamondbacks. I wonder what they are going to do with him. He's got some great, great pop numbers, but a lot of strikeouts, which maybe would turn some teams away from Christian Walker. Longtime veteran in the show now. He's now in his eighth season in the bigs. He's been playing just about every day at first base for the Diamondbacks, which also brings the conundrum in of, well, I thought Rowdy was your everyday first baseman. If you bring in Christian Walker, though, it does help twofold because, let's be honest, Keston Hira defensively at first base, that scares me. That scares me a lot. And the fact that he is your backup first baseman right now isn't great. And you get that natural platoon that the Brewers certainly love, with a right-handed first baseman, Christian Walker, available to give Rowdy a day off here or there. And you can have Christian Walker be a designated hitter against righties and give Kutch a day off if need be. I like the sound of him. I've always liked the sound of Ramon Laureano. You've heard me talk about that, of course, with what he can do. The numbers this year for Walker, if you look at the traditional numbers, you'd be thinking, what the heck? You know, 208 average, 309 on base, but a 484 slugging. He's got 19 homers. He's also got 33 walks in his 250 at-bats, so not a terrible walk rate. He's got a positive OPS plus, a 793 OPS. He's torching lefties, though, not so much against righties. That's where it may stall out, because while he can't hit lefties, the idea would be, if he's going to be a straight platoon with Rowdy, that doesn't add a ton of roster flexibility for what you need in the outfield. Could be a fit, but he's going to be a very popular candidate for a lot of suitors. Another thing to think about, center field, I mentioned Ramon Laureano, but another one, maybe a starter. Let's be honest, if the Brewers aren't convinced Ethan Small is going to stick around in the big leagues this year, in whatever fashion they want him to stick around, do they go out and get a guy? They're still waiting on Freddie to come back, because right now you got Burns, Woodruff returns tomorrow, Hauser, Lauer, Jason Alexander for the time being, and then Chichi Gonzalez, obviously. for maybe a rental or maybe more. The price is obviously high on a lot of these starters. Tyler Mahle, it would be shocking if the Reds traded him within division. Frankie Montas is maybe the most highest commodity. But remember about Frankie Montas, he's got an extra year of control attached to him. So not only do you get him this year, you get him next year as well. That's just a thought. It's a very big price, and I don't know if the Brewers are going to have what the A's are looking for in that regard. But a Frankie Montas trade, I wonder if they're going to consider adding a starter because the bullpen looks like it's getting healthier. Yes, Miguel Sanchez is on the IL. He had an MRI. UCL soreness was the call. We'll see how long he could be out for. Surgery does not look like it's on the table at this moment. Keep an eye on maybe a starter. The Brewers might be dabbling in the starter market as well. Fun final question from the mailbag comes about the City Connect jerseys. Of course, if you're watching on YouTube, I am wearing the City Connect hoodie right now, the Brew Crew. Want my ranking for the City Connect jerseys. So I was in New York a couple weeks ago, right before the City Connect jerseys came out, and I got a chance to see every single City Connect jersey in person at the MLB New York City store, the official flagship store. I will still sit here and say the Washington Nationals have the best one. Seeing it in person, the cream pants too. I love the Nationals cherry blossom ones. I think those are great. I've seen some folks hit on the Rockies ones. Y'all are wrong. They are so much better in person. They are sick. Maybe I'm biased as a West Coast kid, having seen that license plate that they're modeled after. I think the Colorado Rockies ones are great. They're my second-ranked one. My third-ranked one, another one that looks even better in person, is the Royals. It's a clean, great-looking jersey modeled after the fountains there at Kauffman Stadium. That's my third-ranked jersey. I put the Brewers as number four, not being a homer, but I really do love this, the color scheme and the logo, of course, the grill logo. I'm not crazy about the MKE 414 actual design. I love the concept of it, hiding 414 in MKE. Love the colors, love the grill patch. Love the switch to white pants as well instead of the cream. I think that's a little touch that goes noticed. Good little piece there. And my fifth best one is the Angels. I love that Angels cream surf style. The details in that jersey are really neat too. Love that Angels, you know, Southern California flair, Venice Beach look that they've got going on. My worst ones, I've got Diamondbacks, Red Sox, and Giants as my worst. The Giants are the far, far worst. I don't necessarily hate the Diamondbacks or even the Red Sox one for the Boston Marathon. I think the Giants ones are just a complete whiff. Complete whiff. And maybe I'm biased growing up an Oakland A's guy. Anyway, so that's my thought on the City Connect. That's the mailbag for this episode. Let's move on, get ready for the Rays, and just go with the thought of how we're feeling. BetOnline first, though. Our friends, our presenting sponsor today, is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Look, they got updated odds now for Major League Baseball playoffs up there. They're going to have Home Run Derby stuff available up there, too, in a couple of weeks. You can see all of the new sports developments, league reviews, and news. No more NHL playoffs. Shout out to the Colorado Avalanche. They were preseason favorites, so not really a shocker, but taking on the Lightning. That was very fun to watch yesterday, Game 6, Avs win. But BetOnline had you covered if you wanted to learn more about NHL odds and everything there. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and even golf. If you're a live guy, they're in Portland this week. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn about the trends and get in on the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. I just want to note, as we get into the final segment here, a quick little final segment, my hiccup's going away, so that's cool. No hiccups at all in this show. Just had to lock in, I guess. Brewers are 42-33 now. The Rays, as the Brewers await them tomorrow night in the Trop, are 40-32. Tomorrow, Brandon Woodruff makes his return to the big league roster. He hasn't pitched at all in June. He last pitched last week of May in St. Louis. He'll be going up against Shane Baz. Now, Shane was part of the trade piece from Pittsburgh in the Chris Archer deal a couple of years ago, maybe the worst trade in the last 10 years. But Shane Baz, the right-hander, is pitching, flamethrower for the Rays tomorrow. And then the early finale with him being on the East Coast time will be Eric Lauer getting the start against maybe Jeffrey Springs. The Rays officially listed it as TBA, but it would be Jeffrey Springs' day to start. Maybe they'll be using an opener that day, perhaps. And then going to Jeffrey Springs, their changeup lefty specialist. The Brewers don't want to see a lefty, of course, given their struggles against lefties. But 6:10 first pitch tomorrow. And then 11:10 first pitch on Wednesday, given the East time zone, a 12 o'clock Eastern time start on Wednesday. So again, 6 o'clock tomorrow, 11 o'clock on Wednesday for two games down on the Trop before the Brewers get ready for the weekend in Pittsburgh. They'll have a night game on Thursday. That'll be at 6:05 Central Time. Friday's also a night game, 6:05. And then day game Saturday and Sunday, 3:05 and 12:30 from PNC Park. Overall feelings now. Yes, the Brewers are in first place. Is it a priority on June 27th to look at the standings? No. You've heard me say it a million times on this podcast. I don't look at standings until after the All-Star break. When you're even looking, July is when you're allowed at the earliest. But you're now figuring out what every team needs. And you look at the Cardinals. They just lose an extra innings to the Cubs, 6-5. In the process, they may lose Jack Flaherty for the year, having shoulder issues again. Flaherty threw another ton of pitches, 49 pitches in just two innings of work. They're starting to struggle, and they may be in on the starting pitcher market right now. Obviously, Paul Goldschmidt's currently running away as MVP in the National League, and Nolan Arenado is great. Aside from those guys, Yepes hit a home run, but there isn't a lot of consistent offense around Edmund, Goldschmidt, and Arenado. They're really relying on those three guys. Gorman's been hot and cold as a rookie. He went 0-for in yesterday's game. They're going to be active in the trade market. I wonder what the Cardinals are going to do because they're not going away quietly. The Brewers are technically one game up, seven more games head-to-head with them. You look at the upcoming schedule now for the Brewers. As you get through these next 2 days against the Rays, you get to finally take a bit of a breather. You've had this stretch of playoff teams here in June especially. You had four at home against the Padres, lost 3 out of 4. Three at home against the Phillies, got swept. Had three in New York after getting, you know, rocked by the Nationals for 2 out of 3. Had three in New York with the Mets, lost 2 out of 3 of those. Then got back on track against the Reds. Then split with the Cardinals. Now take the series from the Blue Jays. Now you got a quick two-gamer with the Rays and the Trop, always a tough place to play. And Willie's reunion with his old team. Not only Willie, Renfro's reunion, Brasso's reunion, Ozzie Timmons' reunion. So the list goes on. And, of course, Matt Arnold going back to the Rays, his former team that he worked for as well, general manager currently of the Brewers, second in command behind David Stearns. So a reunion of sorts there for him, too. And you'll see J.P. Fireyzen, and you'll see Drew Rasmussen. The Brewers are going to miss Rasmussen, it looks like, right now, too. Brewers, now, after this stretch, though, they get 4 with Pittsburgh, 3 at home with the Cubs, 3 at home with Pittsburgh, and then to close out the first half, they go on the road, 2 in Minnesota, and then 4 in San Francisco. So while Minnesota is in first place, they're kind of in a position like the Blue Jays in that their pitching is holding them back right now. They have great offense, don't get me wrong, but the pitching is holding them back. It could be a chance if the Brewers get going. The Giants are going to be tough. No question about that. 4 games to close out the first half in San Francisco. But now, after these two games, don't get ahead of yourself, but you're going to have 10 straight games against non-competitive teams in the Central. And the Brewers need to continue dominating those non-competitive teams. We talked about their record against the Reds. They're 7-2. We've talked about their record against the Pirates. They're 6-0. But yet they're only 5-5 against the Cubs. Need to take care of that. Need to take care of business against those darn Cubbies. Brewers and Rays tomorrow. One more reminder. No episode tomorrow morning. We're taking the day off, all right? Enjoy the series win. Enjoy this Monday off day. Follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Brewers, for all the late-breaking news. And follow me on Twitter, at Dom_Catronio. Thanks for listening. Thanks for starting your Monday with us. We will see you on Wednesday to recap Game 1 of this series and this road trip. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.